John 3:16 through 19. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
I want us to look at a lesson today that I think is really one of the most important one we can look at least today, okay? And it is God's forgiveness. We usually talk about forgiveness of each other, and that's very important and very necessary. But I think we need to recognize that we've got a God that is a forgiving God. And if we can understand the forgiveness of God, I'm going to tell you something. It'd make our Christianity so much better. It would make our life so much, it would add us so much to our lives, because we've got a God that is ready to forgive us. Sometimes we kind of leave the impression that God wants to forgive us, but there's still that little question there about it. Let me tell you something. Get the question out of the way. God wants to forgive you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful to know? That's great to know, and I hope you know that, and I hope you realize that. What I want us to do today is to see some of this and to understand this, because we can't understand the forgiveness of others and us even forgiving others until we understand the forgiveness of God and how God forgives. Because, you see, we're supposed to emulate God. We're supposed to forgive as God forgives. And so this is important that we recognize this and that we see this. Now, look, if you would, at the screen up here, and it's got some things on it. God is ready to forgive us. Now, listen to this passage. Isaiah 43 and verse 25, blot out your transgressions. God is going to blot out your transgressions, and he says, I will remember them no more. God's going to blot them out. He's ready to do that. Well, I think most of us would agree, yeah, God's ready to do that. But look at this next point, if you would. Not only is he ready, but it's possible for him to do that. It's possible for God to be willing to forgive us. And we've got to see this. God wants to forgive us. God's trying to do that. In Nehemiah 9, in verse 17, it said he's ready to pardon. Now, he's talking to some people who are sinning. He's talking to some people who are ready, and they don't really realize and see the need to respond to God and do God's will, but God is ready there. And the prophet saying God is ready to pardon you. He not only wants to do it, but he's ready to do it. But not only does he want to do it and he's ready to do it, but we can see that this God is also one who will do it. And he's going to do that. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some people count slackness. He's not like some people who'll let you go a little way. Here's God that wants to save you. He wants to cleanse you. And we're going to see this in a moment. It doesn't make any difference what you do. God wants to forgive you. Whatever sin you want to mention, God will forgive it. Now, there's only one sin God cannot forgive. That's when we will not repent. But outside of that, God's ready to pardon you for anything you've done. Why in the world do we walk around with sin on us? Why in the world do we walk around and we're dreading this sin that we've committed, the thing that we've done that's wrong? Why are we doing that when we've got a God that he said he would do it, he's willing to do it, and he is going to do it? He's going to put those things out, and he'll cleanse us. He'll make us right. And he'll do it not just in a little way, but it talks about how that God will do it in an abundant way. In Isaiah 55 and verse 7, he talks about that, the abundance of his pardon. He's talking about, not just a little pardon, but a big pardon. Not just for a little sin, but for any sin that you commit. He's ready to do that. He's ready to forgive us. He's ready to cleanse us. He's ready to pardon us, no matter what we do. Now, look at this. The example up here of God's forgiveness. Is that In Luke 15 of the prodigal son, now that's how we title that, the prodigal son. The son that goes away, does his thing, does his wrong, does his sin, lives in sin, and he comes back to the Father, and we love to hear that story on that side. Let me tell you something. We've missed a part of that story if we miss about the Father. That Father represents God. Now, look at God here. Look at how God is and see the example of God. This son, he is looking to come back. He wants him to come back. He's there looking for him. And when he sees his son coming, he runs to meet him. The son doesn't have to come over and see him. Here's the Father. Here's God ready to come to you in the midst of sin and forgive you of that sin if you will repent of it. That's God. I think a better title of this story, at least for us today in the sermon that we're talking about, is look at this, the pardoning God, the forgiving God. And see the example of God. The son had his spiel already ready to go. You know, I've sinned. I've done this. I've done that. And you know, I want to repent of that. I regret all that. And all the words that you could think that he could say to try to apologize and try to make it right with the Father just hushes him up. Do you realize what we've got to do to receive the forgiveness of God? You know how hard it is. Asking. That's it. Just asking God. God, forgive me of this. And the pardon is there for us. It's not a matter of I've got to come in and, well, you know, God, I want you to forgive me. And he says, okay, Charles, now let me tell you something. I'll forgive you, but you're going to have to wait 2 or 3 weeks before I really pass this and really forgive you. No, that's not it. God is ready to pardon when we are ready to repent. And he's ready to forgive. I mean, he's there. And he wants to forgive. He's looking for forgiveness. He's looking to give that forgiveness to every one of us. That's what his desire is. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. He says here that God is a Father of mercies and a God of all comfort. That's who God is. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's what God wants to give us. Do you see God that way? Or maybe we look back in the Old Testament, and there in the Old Testament, we see a God there that we think is kind of mean, and he's condemning people, and he's killing people, and he's doing all those things, and he did that. But what did he want to give to those people? Mercy. Forgiveness. How many times did the children of Israel sin? How many times did they go wrong? If you want to see this in a great way, read the book of Judges. Here's a judge that comes up, and boy, all the people are following God. And then the judge dies, and the people go back into sin. God gives them another judge. And that judge is there. They come back to God, and God forgives them. And then they go back into sin after that judge dies. Judge after judge after judge, in with God, out with God, in with God, out with God. And you'd think after a while God would say, that's it, no more. I'm not going to forgive anybody anymore. I'm tired of this. I've tried to do this. You would not listen. You're not going to do any better. And I know you're not going to do any better. So that's it. The fire's coming. The world's going to be destroyed. Let me tell you something. God's ready to forgive you. That's what he wants to do. That's what the passage that was read a while ago in John 3 and verse 16. Not just that God loves the world and he gave his son for the world, but he did not send his son into the world. Listen to this. To condemn the world. But he sent his son in the world to save the world. To forgive people of their sins. To wash people. To make people right with God. That's what God was trying to do. That's what he's going to continue to try to do. Now, look at this if you would. God will forgive our sins. God is willing to do that, and he will forgive the lowest, the worst sin that anybody could ever commit. He wants to forgive it. Do you realize that God wants to save you? It is his desire that you be cleansed of your sins. He wants that for you. He's trying to get that for you. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I've really gone so far in sin, I don't think I can come back. I've sinned so much, I don't think God will forgive me. I've been in this life so long, I there's just no way I can come back. Let me tell you something. If you've ever said that, if you've ever heard somebody say that, I got to be honest with you, it's a lie. God can forgive you, and God will. Have you ever wondered why people that are so engrossed in sin and so involved in sin and their lives are taken over so much by sin, why when they repent and they realize the pardon of God, the forgiveness of God for their sins, that they're people that are more dedicated than some of us that have grown up in the church? You ever wondered why that's it? They realize that the idea of what forgiveness really was and what God forgave them of. See, our problem sometimes is, as those that are members of the church, we don't see our sins as bad as they really are. And therefore, we're not really rushing to repent of our sins. We're just kind of ignoring it. Let me tell you something. God wants us to repent of our sins. God wants us to cleanse ourselves. Well, you can't go so far that God cannot forgive you. If you will repent, God will forgive. God will blot out, and He'll remember in no more. Now, if we went over to Acts, the second chapter, we could read there about people who had, according to the preacher that day, the sermon, in his sermon, had said to the people, you people with wicked hands have taken and you've crucified the Son of God. You've done that. You've taken God's Son and you have hung Him on a tree. Whoa. Now let me tell you something. You can do a lot of things to a lot of people, but you start bothering their children, and they get kind of upset real fast, don't they? They really do. Why? Because they love them. Because they care for them. Let me tell you something. These people crucified God's Son, and God was ready to forgive. When those people that with their wicked hands have taken and they've placed Jesus Christ on the cross. Now you say, well, they didn't do it literally. Yes, but they were there agreeing to it, saying, let it be done. This is what we want to happen. And here Peter accuses these people of this in Acts the second chapter, and they are forgiven of that. Look at the latter part of that book, of that chapter of that book of Acts 2. And what these people, they were added to the church daily, those that were being saved. Who did that? God did that. God did that. Who do you do it to? The people that had crucified His only Son. Now you talk about a God that wants to forgive. Here's a God who wants to forgive. Here's a God that is willing to forgive. This is a God that is trying to forgive. And we've read this passage before, but 1 John 1 and verse 9, where it says, if we confess our sins, He is the one that is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. This is who God is. This is the one that we're going to and saying, forgive me. If you worry about a sin you've committed, in 40 years, I've seen people worry about sins that they committed years ago. And they kind of wonder in their mind, did God really forgive me of that? Now, you may not be able to forgive yourself, but I'm going to tell you something. God forgives you. God forgives you. Now, other people may bring it up sometime, and they may throw it up in your face, and you may wake up, and there it is in your mind, and you're thinking about it, and you can't go back to sleep, and it's bothering you. But let me tell you something. There's one thing you need to rest on. God has forgiven that if you've repented of it. And we don't have to worry about it. Not anymore do we have to worry about it. Listen to what he says in verse 7 of 1 John 1 here. He said, if we walk in the light. Now see, there's a contingency here. There's something we've got to do. It's not a matter of I'm just going to God and say, God forgive me, and then I go do what I want to. He said, what we've got to do is to be those people that we walk in the light. We walk according to God's will. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. If we walk like Jesus walked, is what he's saying. If we walk that way, we have fellowship with one another. We've got fellowship with God. And it's all based on our serving Jesus Christ. And then he goes on the latter part there. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Isn't it wonderful to know that we've got the forgiveness of our sins? Now, look at this passage here. And I did the white and the red for a purpose, okay? Here it says in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, it shows us that though your sins are like scarlet. What color is scarlet? Oh, come on. Y'all ain't going to sleep yet. I ain't even got started in this sermon. Red. It's a dark red. And so here, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, look at what he says here. They shall be as white as snow. They shall be as wool. Now, I don't know if this is true. I've read this. But to get a crimson color, they had to dip it, the material, twice in the dye to get that. It's a dark, dark color. And they had to dip it twice in there. Now, just think about this. Twice dipped and made clean. Twice dip sinners and they're made clean. Sinners that have been involved in sin for so long, it scarred the body, it scarred the soul, it scarred the conscience. But it's clean before God as though you've never ever done it before. That's what this thing is. That's what the forgiveness of God is. And just as a sad thing here, that's the way we need to learn to forgive other people too. That they've double-dipped sin against us. We need to learn to forgive it just like God forgives us. What if God forgave you like you forgive others? Would you want that? Boy, I've seen some people that they remember people's sins even though they've repented of them. I wonder if one day when they stand before God, God is going to say, wait, Charles, listen, what about this sin and that? Wait, God, I thought you forgave those. Yeah, I do. I thought you had forgot, though. Yeah, I do. But did you forgive this fellow over here the sin that he committed against you like that? Did you forgive him like that? Now, look at this, if you would. We've got to understand the forgiveness of God. We've got to understand how God is willing to forgive us and how God is willing to blot out the things that we have done. And he's willing to help us to become people that are right with him. What really is this thing of forgiveness? And I thought when I was looking at this, should I even ask this question? What is forgiveness? But I think we need to know what it is. We need to understand what it is. We can learn what forgiveness is by seeing how God treats it. And look at this. In Acts 3 and verse 19, it says there that he removes it. And he keeps no record. And it's taken off of his record that we're going to have to face one day. And we go up there and we're thinking of all the sins we've committed. And he looks down through there and he says, I don't see any. Is that because we've not committed any? No, we've committed a lot. But hopefully, prayerfully, we've gone to God and asked God to forgive us, and he's cleansed it. He's taken it off the record. In Hebrews 8 and verse 12, it said he has removed it, he's taken it away, and remembers it no more. He remembers it no longer. It's not there. God said, I don't know anything about it. Do you realize that God doesn't remember the sins that you've committed, that you've repented of? That's what forgiveness is. And then also, he helps us to understand, like in Luke 15 that we were talking about a while ago, how that here is one that he puts us back in the former position of love and grace that we were before. It's as though we've never even done the thing. That's what this thing of forgiveness is. That's what this thing of being forgiven is. Now, look at this. And I don't have time to go over all these passages, but I want you to see some of these. And this one down here, 2 Corinthians, if you can't see it, the cross got in the way. Maybe a good thing. But I want you to see. Look at the words that are used. Now, you look these up. If you don't have time and you want to look them up, I'll give them to you. Let me know. Here is remission. That's what God does with it. He remits our sins. But he also cleanses us. He justifies us. He pardons us. He blots these things out. He heals us. He gives us a freedom from those things. And then the idea of reconciliation, restoring us. Now, we don't have time to go through, and that's a whole sermon right there in and of itself when we just look at those terms. It's saying God forgives us, and God says it in so many ways. So that we can see it and understand it, that forgiveness is ours and he wants to forgive us. He's not asking you to shed your blood. His son has already shed his blood. That you can be forgiven of your sins. That you can have those sins washed and cleansed away. Now, we've got to understand that it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness. Now, sometimes, and in the church, we sometimes have a problem about this. We forget that God wants to forgive us, and God desires to do that. We forget all about that. The blood of Jesus Christ. Look at this passage, and I don't usually put a passage up here because I want you to turn to them in your Bible, but I want you to see this one. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by the grace of God you have been saved. Okay, we're saved. What did that? The grace of God. Look at this. Through faith. Because of faith. Where did you get your faith from? How would you know there's a God? How would you know what God wants you to do? If God did not answer the question in Acts the second chapter, what must I do to be saved? Where would those people be? Lost. But God answered it. He answered that question in faith. That not of yourselves. Here, we are saved not because of our faith, but because of the faith that God has given us. And he gives it to everybody. He's given his word to every person that they can believe in him, that they can serve him. And it is through that, not because of the works that we have done. It is a gift of God. It's something that God has given to us. You say, are you saying salvation is a gift? Yes. Isn't that what it says there? It's a gift. It's given to us. You say, wait a minute, I've got to earn it. Look at what he says here. Lest we misunderstand this and get back into this. Not of the works, lest anyone should boast. Why, I was baptized, therefore I get salvation. I did that. Let me tell you something. We do those things because we're people who are striving to serve God. We are saved by faith. Not by our works. What work could we do to save ourselves? None at all. Not one. We can't do it. If we could do it, God sent his son, his only son, to go through the shame and the punishment of this earth for 3 years and then to be placed on a cross for nothing. If I can be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ, why would God do that? We must question his intelligence then. But it's because of Jesus Christ that we do that. Somebody, and you know, in the church was, yeah, but you got to work. Let me tell you something. Look at this passage, and this is a passage we need to see. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For, this is a purpose. We are his workmanship. Here we are as God's workmanship. We are those things that God has designed to work for him. We obey the gift that is given. We receive the gift, the forgiveness of our sin that's given to us. And we are willing to continue working in that. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Let me tell you something. You can do all the good works you want to outside of Christ. You know what they're worth? Nothing. Oh, they help the world. But as far as your salvation is concerned, it does no good at all. Well, what? That's hard to understand, did it? No, it's not that hard to understand. We are those, God's people are those that are created to work. We're created to be used by God. Paul introduced most of his books that he wrote, a servant of God. I serve God. I do God's will. I do what God wants me to do. I follow what God wants me to follow. And so here we are, for we're those people that are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for those good works, prepared before the world was even formed. God said He wanted His people working for Him before the world was created. And that's what He wants even today. That's what His desire is today. We are those people that are God's, and we're going to walk, live, do those things. You see, we obey by faith, and that faith is not a work. Baptism is not a work, because this is something that God has given us to be able to do. Even our works can't save us. God has saved us by the blood of His Son, and we show that blood in our life by the labors that we have, by the work that we do. That's what we do. Now, look at this. Got to hurry up here and get through. All right, look at this one here. Forgiveness and the forgiveness of our sin is a conditional thing. And we've got to understand that. There are conditions that are placed on this gift. If you say, I want you to have this gift, come up here and take it. Well, you've got to come up here and take the gift to be able to do that. Here is the forgiveness that's there. It is for those people that are outside of the body of Christ to receive that gift. And God wants them to receive that. God wants them to be able to do that. The question is, was just asked in Acts the 2nd chapter, what must we do to be saved? God wants to forgive us. How can I be forgiven by God? Peter had shown those people that they were those that were sinners. And they probably at that moment felt like they were the greatest sinners that had ever sinned in the world. We have crucified the Son of God. What can we do? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, complying with receiving the gift of that blood that was shed about 50 days before that, so that these people could be forgiven there. And they were forgiven. We've already mentioned that. They were forgiven. And so they were forgiven of their sins there. What about those of us that are already Christians? We're those people that we have obeyed the gospel. We've been immersed in water. We've had ourselves cleansed. What about the forgiveness that we have? What about this forgiveness that God has for us? God is wanting us to be those people that we're willing to change. There must be a genuine repentance on our part. Not a repentance because, oh, I've been caught, so, oh, I'm sorry for this because I've been caught. No, it's a matter of we're standing before God and we realize that and we want to get that thing straightened out before God. We want to make it right before the Heavenly Father. We want to make this thing right before God. Some sins that we commit as Christians, they need to be confessed publicly. A rule of thumb, I think it's a great one, is that the sin needs to be confessed as public as the sin was committed. It needs to be confessed as much as big as it was committed. If I do something in the community here and all the community knows about it, all the community needs to hear that Charles has got that straightened out. If it's a sin that I've committed against you, then I need to come to you and get that thing straightened out. You need to come to me and say, Charles, you did this. And then we can talk about it. We don't need to respond publicly for that. Basically, what we have done in our society today is just we don't respond publicly at all for anything. And that's not good. Now, we can respond too much, but we cannot respond at all. And we need to understand there's sins that we need to repent of publicly. We need to ask for the prayers of the church so that we can have the forgiveness of God. James 5 and verse 16 says, confess those faults one to another, those trespasses, those things that you've done wrong. Confess those things one to another. And have others to pray for you. Is it because you've got to have that? No, it's because you get to have that. The forgiveness of sins. And what we've done is look at this, I know in a speedy way, but I want you to recognize this. God is ready to forgive. Amen. Y'all just sit there. Y'all are going to sleep, man. I'm enjoying this one. God is ready to forgive. And there's not a sin you can mention that God can't forgive outside the one where you will not repent. If you'll repent of it, God will forgive it. He all those words that we looked at a while ago up there, he'll do every one of those things. He'll blot it out. He'll not remember it anymore. He'll take it off the roll. He'll do all those things, and it won't be against us anymore. Why in the world would we want to continue to live in sin? Why should we continue to dread the idea of, well, I really don't want to go to church because I know I've done something wrong. Let me tell you something. That's where you need to be if you've done anything wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. Brethren will forgive you. And if they don't, and some don't, they're going to face a God that's going to say, Charles, you didn't forgive. I don't forgive you. I don't forgive you. Let us learn to forgive other people. Let us have the kind of forgiveness of sin like God does. He's looking for it. He's ready for it. He'll do whatever he can to get the thing straightened out. He wants to do that. We need to let people in the world know God's ready to forgive. And God's people are like their God, and they're going to forgive. Jesus, even on the cross, for people who had not repented of it, for people that probably would have said, we don't need your forgiveness, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now, were they forgiven? Only if they repented. But look at him. He's looking to forgive these people. That's God. We sing an invitation. Traditionally, it's to cause us to think for just a little bit. And if you need to respond to the invitation, I want to encourage you to do that.